Yeah. Lighthouse Baptist Church.
Is that on?
We have a few churches, Wendy and I, when we travel, that we will listen to after church on a Sunday night and to spend some time. And this is one of them. We love your pastor and the work that goes on here, the themes that you have each year. And we thank the Lord for that. And just it's a joy for us to be back with you this morning. And your pastor said Brother Harper preached a great message, and you stick around to hear it. If you haven't heard it, you won't need to, because I'm just going to do it now. It was so good, I'm just going to go ahead and do my version of it. No, just kidding. But it was great, great, great message, and you're going to love it and enjoy it, I'm sure. And I'm thankful for Bible conferences, amen? And they're needed. They're needed in this day and age in which we live. You know, there's a little bit of difference between a revival and a Bible conference. A revival clearly is a spiritual renewal, an emphasis of repentance and return to the faith and a deeper commitment to God. But a Bible conference is, on the other hand, is a focus on teaching and instruction in the Bible. And sometimes it's a particular subject, sometimes it's a particular book. But obviously the goal of both of them is it's going to create some action. Amen? Yeah. It's going to create, anytime you get to know the Lord better and you get to understand His words better, it's going to change you. Amen. That's what God's Word does. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And boy, I tell you, that's a presentation. When we present ourselves to the Lord. And then verse 2, it goes on and says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you prove that which is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. There's a presentation, but then there's a transformation that the Word of God does. Amen? And this morning, I want to talk to you a little bit about Bible study and talk to you a little bit about what the purposes of the Word of God are. Take your Bible and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. I had two messages I was looking at. One had to do with Mark, I think chapter 12. And my heart is really heavy these days. I pray that the 40 million Christians, they say, who are not going to vote, I pray they will. Amen.
Yeah.
I thank God for Lighthouse Baptist Church and the resources in the front of your church right now. And you ought to get some of those resources. You ought to give those resources out. You ought to share those with your kids and your grandkids and your family. Not to fight, not to argue, but just saying, this is something I thought was good, you might enjoy it. And because the Lord spoke about politics in the Bible, did you know that? Remember, He says, render to Caesar that which is Caesar's.
Right.
You know, they tried to trick the Lord. They were trying to trick Him with their word, with His words. And they said, should we pay or not pay tribute? Should we give or not give? And the Lord so wisely says, anybody got a penny? Anybody got a denarius? One coin that represented a day's labor? Anybody got one? And they bought it to Him. And He put it in the palm of His hand. Knowing they were trying to trick Him. Knowing that in just a few days, those same groups were going to crucify Him. And now He's got a penny in His hand. And He looks at it and He says, who is that? And what's those words? Man, that's a pretty powerful sermon right there. Because those words were Caesar. That picture was Caesar. And those words to the divine Caesar. Because boy, there was a false worship toward the king way back then. And he looked at that. And he says, render to Caesar that which is Caesar, render to God what's God's. That's powerful. You know why? Because in our minds we put God things over here and Caesar things over here. And we have all of God things, the Bible, then church and prayer. And then we have the government and the senators and the congressmen and the president. And we got all those things in order or out of order, whichever one. But that's not how it is. That is not at all what he said when he held that coin. If I had a blackboard up here and I wrote down God and Caesar and a list, no. If you understand what he was saying was, the whole blackboard, the name God would be at the top, and Caesar would be right down here somewhere.
Right.
Because it all belongs to God.
Right. Amen.
It all belongs to God. Separation of nothing with God. It's all God's.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
And so we need to study God's Word. We need to soak in what we're getting today and tomorrow and Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. And I want to help us do that. 2 Timothy, you know, the theme of 2 Timothy is persevering in the faith. And because trials are going to come, because false teachers are going to come. And Paul was helping us here and helping this church, to Timothy, his preacher, to persevere in the faith, to keep moving forward. And he gives us some four distinct things that study will do for us in this word. And so I want you to look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. And we're going to look at a famous verse, verse 15. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I think that's the theme of your conference, right? Truth?
Yeah.
Truth. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Father, we thank you for this time. Oh, Lord, help these things settle in our hearts in this class. Help us, Lord, to, through the end of this conference, to know exactly what you said to us individually. Let it change us. Let our perspective change as we look to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, Solomon said the words concerning study, and this first word, study to show thyself approved. Some people love to study and some people hate study. I mean, some people love school and some people hate it school. How many people in the room, you love school, you love studying? Raise your hand. There's one, two, maybe three of us in the room, you know? Okay? And some people just, man, I don't like to do that, but I'll do it after I have to do it. But study. Here's what Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 12. Much study is weariness of the flesh. You know, it can become weary at times in studying. And yet he says here, to study to show thyself approved unto God. Now I say this, I'm going to give you this lesson. And I'm glad the ladies aren't here. Because there's two places where God clearly did not want women to be the head and the in charge of. One of them was not the government, by the way. One of them was not the senator seats and the congressional seats and all those things. But in the Bible, there are two clear places that men, like you in this room, he expects us to be large and in charge. Mm-hmm. Number one, the home.
Yep.
The home. Right. You've got to lead the way, fellas, in your home.
Right.
And I got news for you. We're not leading the way in the home if we're not mentioning these words.
Yeah.
And we're not mentioning them often. And then we're not using them to direct our family and direct our path, right, and direct our words. Amen.
That's right.
Come on, guys. Let's stand and get in God's word and let's give it to our families.
Right.
Let's lead in that. Mm-hmm. Let's go home this afternoon, as I did when I had my children with me. And we sit around the table and say, hey, what did God speak to you in the message today? We did that yesterday with the teenagers, God, I learned some things. I mean, I was greatly encouraged by listening to, we did that Friday night in the Friday night addiction class, to hear people reiterate now, well, what did God say to you just a few moments ago? Well, what part stuck out in your heart, in your mind? Amen? Yeah. Oh, man, that is so needed, guys. And that's needed in our homes, and we are the ones to take the leadership in that. Amen? That does not mean the women doesn't study. That does not mean they don't know, shouldn't know God's word and have a word from God and all those kinds of things as well. But it means the man is supposed to be the leader in all of that.
Right.
Number two, the church. God never intended for a woman to be a pastor.
That's right.
Never intended through God's word for a woman to pastor a church. Sorry. He intended for the leadership in the church to be male. I'm talking about the pastor and the deacons or elders, the word of God says. And so guys, if that's true, then we better study. Mm-hmm. We better know something about God's word. And we better find out what these four aspects are, these four results of studying God's word. And I'm going to give them to you today. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. We looked at verse 15. Look, if you will, chapter 3. Let's go to chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse number 15. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction. What's right, what's not right, how to get right, and how to stay right. That's what he said. For instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Look, if you will, at chapter number 4, verse 2. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, rebuke, reprove, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Look over at chapter 4, verse 13. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou come, bring with thee. And the books, but especially, this is what Paul tells Timothy, but especially the parchment. Paul says, don't forget that I need the parchments. I need the word of God.
Right.
He said, well, he was a preacher. He's also a dad. He's also a husband. He didn't just need God's word because he was a preacher. He needed it because he was a man. Mm-hmm. A man after God's own heart. A man that loved the Lord. A man who wanted to follow the Lord. A man who wanted to lead in the right direction. And so we're going to study these things about what does it mean to study? I want to turn to Acts, if you will. Acts chapter number 17. And let's look what Paul said to the Berean church in Acts 17. Acts 17, the Bible says in verse number 11, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searching the scriptures daily whether those things were so. So I want to give you the four things. Number one, I want you to write down the word to show. To show. It's a presentation. It's all that I am given over to all that He is. To present yourselves to the Lord. Every time you open this book, every time you hear a sermon, it's a presentation. Here I am, Lord. Take out what needs to take out. Put in what needs to be put in. I am thine, O Lord. I've heard thy voice. It's told thy power to me. To show. That's what a Bible conference is. To show. That's what a revival is. To show. Show thyself approved unto God. It's a presentation. In this chapter of Acts, chapter 17, verse 11, he says, to search the scriptures daily. It was a diligent search. It wasn't just reading and closing it and being done with it and being, and somebody asks you a couple of hours later, hey, what did the preacher say? And you're like, yeah, I don't even know. I know I'm not making fun of you because sometimes the preacher won't know what he just said.
Watch it.
I understand. But somewhere there'll be some notes that you can look back on. Somewhere there'll be some time for you to look back on to process those scriptures further. I told you jokingly a while ago I was going to preach Brother Harper's message. So if you didn't hear it, you don't need to come to the next service because I'm going to tell you what it is. But I'm not doing that, okay? Make that real plain. He's in the book of Exodus. I'm in Timothy. So, but that was how good it was. I'm writing that all down. I got like three other thoughts that God placed on my heart that will end up speaking first to me. Because God wants to change me. It's a presentation. Show me, Lord. Show me. Teach me, Lord. Listen, when these people, when Paul wrote this, the Berean church, they didn't have Bible programs like we have Bible programs. They didn't have search engines. They didn't have concordances and Bible dictionaries. They didn't have Google. They had scrolls and manuscripts.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? But he says, I want you to study. And after you've heard it, I want you to go home and think about it, meditate on it. And it's a study to show yourself approved unto God. It was not only a diligent study, it was a daily study. Some people say, well, I just didn't get anything out of it. We'll go study it some more. Mm-hmm. It's a daily study. Well, that sermon didn't make sense to me this morning. I can't believe anybody would ever say that. Maybe there was a part of it that didn't make sense to you. Then go home and study it a little bit more. About, by the way, wouldn't be anything wrong with staying and hearing it all over again next hour. Mm-hmm. I'm just telling you, it's not just a one and done. It's a daily study.
Right.
It's life or death. It's truth or false. It's truth or lies. I've got to know Him and the power of His resurrection. I've got to know Him. And so it's a daily study. Not only is it a diligent study and a daily study, it's a dedicated study. Look at the words. Whether those things were so. He didn't just believe it because some man said it.
Yeah.
They wanted God. And by the way, the preacher didn't have a problem with that.
That's right.
And real preachers don't have a problem with that.
Right.
They would prefer you to study. They would prefer you to confirm what the Lord said. Because it's not their word they're preaching. Now I know sometimes preachers preach their words. I understand that. I was in a city and didn't have a church to go to on a Wednesday night. And we were traveling between meetings and I slipped into a church. And it was a sermon. And it was a sermon, Book of Revelation, I think chapter 12. And I remember that. But three-fourths of the message was all about the political mess we're in and how bad things are and how the Lord needs to come back and how the Republicans are terrible and the Democrats are terrible and I don't even know why anybody votes anymore anyway. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness. And he didn't clarify any of that. So the young people in the room were like, oh no, what, you know, the world's falling. You know, he didn't give any hope in any of it. I understand we can put our personal opinions in there and things and really muddy the waters. But you're looking for what is God saying?
Yeah.
Right.
Don't get hung up on my words and my story, but find out what God is trying to tell you. Amen? It's a diligent study. They double checked it. They confirmed it. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. For this cause, verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. This is what Paul says to the church of Thessalonica. And it's not quite the same words that he talked about Berea, because Berea was that kind of church that did that. They had those characteristics. But he wanted the church of Thessalonica to get there too.
Yeah. Right.
So here's how he starts talking to them, the men of this church. Look at verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe.
Amen.
I'm begging you this week, tonight, tomorrow, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, to show yourself. I don't mean like that sounds, show yourself, you know. That gets pretty ugly if we show ourselves, right? Show yourself to God. Present yourself to Him. God, show me what I need. God, speak to us. Speak, O Lord. We want to hear your voice. I love a song. I hear it from time to time on different in different churches. But the words are, speak, O Lord, as we come to you to receive the food of your holy word. Take your truth, plant it deep in us. Shape and fashion us in your likeness, that the life of Christ might be seen today in our actions of love and our deeds of faith. Speak, O Lord, and fulfill in us all your purposes for your glory.
Yeah.
Speak, O Lord. Speak to us. Teach us, Lord, full obedience, holy reverence, true humility. Test our thoughts and our attitudes in the radiance of your purity. Cause our faith to rise. Cause our eyes to see your majesty, love, and authority. Words of power that can never fail. Let your truth prevail over us. I'm just saying, that ought to be a presentation. That ought to be every single time we come to church, every time we open the Word, we present ourselves to Him. Amen? So number one is we show ourselves. What's number one?
Show.
We show. Number two is to know. To know. Write that one down. To know. Romans 15 says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. The Old Testament, the New Testament is written for us that we might have hope. And hope is not a thing, it's a person. His name is Jesus. Our hope is found, a resting place, not in device nor created. I'll save you the time, but I love it when preachers go from Genesis to Revelation and show you pictures of Jesus. Amen. Because it's all about Him, the wonderful Savior. Matthew 22, Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the Scriptures, nor the power of God. Proverbs chapter 1, a wise man will hear and will increase in learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. To know the Word of God. And boy, I pray that you'll never get to the place where you say, I already heard all those sermons, I already know all that stuff. Because you can study words in this book, you can study the books in the Bible, you can study the people in this Bible, you can study the themes of this Bible. There are many, many ways to know and to study. And the miracles and the parables and the theologies and the typologies and the numerologies and the colors and the dispensations and the places and the mannerisms and the customs. And through all that, God speaks. Amen. God speaks. And He speaks differently to you than He does me, all at the same time. It's a miracle. It's wonderful. I have loved over the last two decades, I have loved preaching and then stopping at the end and saying, okay, what'd y'all learn? What'd you hear me say? Somebody repeat what I said. What part stuck out to you? And I'm amazed, Brother Walsh, at how God speaks specifically. And God shows specifically to different 100 different needs. That's my God. That's my loving God who uses His Word to speak to us so we'll know the truth, and that truth can make us free. And so number one was to what?
Show.
Number two is to?
Know.
Number three is to grow. It's to grow. Peter says it this way, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that they may grow thereby. And so we'll grow. I want to just segue just for a second. Because when you think of the Word of God, the word Word is two words in the Bible, in the original languages. The first word is the word Logos. It's the whole thing. From Genesis to Revelation, it's Logos, the Word of God. And there's some wonderful places in the Bible that explain that. Here they are. Let me give you a few. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. That's the Lord Logos. In the beginning was the Logos, the Word. And the Word Logos was God. And the Word Logos was God, is God, and was God. Let me give you Luke chapter 8. It says, the seed is the Word of God. So he likens the Word to seed. And the Word, all of it, is a seed planting it in your life. That's why we make the presentation. That's why we show. Okay, Lord, I'm here. I pulled up to the table. Let me give you another one. Philippians, holding forth the Word of life. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, right and divine in the Word, Logos. Same word. Holding forth the Word, Logos, the whole book, all of the words of God. Hebrews 4, for the Word is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. The whole thing. Let me give you this one. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, which is the Word of God, Logos, the Word of God, the incorruptible seed of God's Word. There's a second word for the word Word that you'll find. And you can learn this through a Strong's Concordance. You can look it up, the word Word, and it'll tell you in what verses, whether it's the word Logos or whether it's the word Rhema. And I'm sure Brother Harper can give us even more information on that if you go ask him. But the word Rhema is a little different from the word Logos. It's a Greek word, and that word Rhema means an utterance. That word Rhema is a portion of Scripture that the Holy Spirit brings to our attention with specific application of what He is saying to us. Every word of God is inspired. It's all inspired word of God. We learn in 2 Timothy chapter 3. But the word Rhema is a specific word that God has for you. Because we can go to church this morning, I can give you a 10-minute summary of what Brother Harper said last hour. But I could tell you another summary that in 10 minutes of what the Holy Spirit said to me. Right. Which one's more important? I wouldn't say neither is more important. But one of them is personal. Because it was not Brother Harper that spoke to me. It was God that spoke to me. And man, God wants to do that every time we get together. Every time that book is open. If you make a, what's number one? If we show up, if we make a presentation to Him. And what's number two? No. Well, I need this fixed. I've got a living spirit that's sanctified on the inside, but on the other side of that is a soul, a mind, will, and emotions that has been. It's got some neighbors that are really, really bad. It's got some influence in it through the years. It's really, really bad. I want to know you. I want to know your word. I want to know your ways. I want to put all my confidence and trust in you. And then we grow. We're not going to grow in a relationship like the Word wants us to grow if we don't get what God is telling us. And we accept it first as, this is what God said. I'm not going to give you a message away, but I'm telling you, when those Israelites and Moses saw the dilemma he was in, and he went to God, and God told him what to do by faith, you know what he did? He had to repeat it to himself. He did it. He did exactly what God said, and they followed him across that Red Sea. And when they got across the Red Sea, Moses is still talking about what God said. He's still talking. He writes a song about it. It's so important that he can't get it off his mind. This is what God said. But you know what? He didn't tell everybody else until he processed it himself. He processed it. He didn't have long time to do this, but he processed God's word himself. And then you know what? He couldn't wait to tell somebody else. Oh, I'm telling you, we get to grow and we get to help others grow when we get words from God. Amen. You know, the word Rhema, we find that. Let me give you a few of those. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. That's the word Rhema. Right. Because the meal for you today during the morning service may be different than the meal for me. God's got something for you just like he has for me.
Right.
How about this one? The word that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. That's not the word Logos, that's the word Rhema. How about this one? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. That's the word Rhema.
Right.
Because you're at a different faith level than I am, and I'm at a different faith level than you are. But God's going to speak to all of us today. Amen.
Right.
If we, number one,
show.
Number two,
no.
Oh Lord, I want to know your word, your ways. Number three,
grow.
And then we start growing. We start growing in the presence of our family, in the presence of our church family, in the presence of the world. When God gives a rhema for us to act on, he often confirms it by, the Bible says, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, he confirms it in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Every word shall be established. You know, that's called discipleship. Amen. Because when you start going through RU and you get together and you start talking, Brother Mike, to Brother Jimmy, and you start sharing with him what God showed, told you during the morning message, and this is a guy, you know what he says? He says, yay and amen. Mm-hmm. And you know what? That confidence then is gained in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Now look, that ain't going to happen if you just show up Sunday morning, open your Bible to the book of Exodus and close it and leave and never do anything else with it. That is not what Bible conference is all about. Amen? I love you. I'm trying to help you. I need this kind of help. I want us to get the Rhema word of God. Husbands, love your wives. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. Rhema. Mm-hmm. We're not going to be the kind of husbands we need to be if we're not getting the Rhemas from God that he's trying to give to us to lead and guide our families. Amen?
Yes.
Rhema word. What's the first one?
No.
Show. What's the second one?
No.
What's the third one?
No.
And number four. Let's go back to the other page. Almost done. Number four, to sow. To sow. Once you've learned the scriptures, God will allow it to help you, but then it can't stay there. It's got to go to somebody else. That's why, in a sense, we're all called preachers, teachers. Because every one of us, God is expecting us to take what He's given to us and give it to somebody else. It's called the gospel, the good news. I want to tell you some good news. Jesus died for me. Good news, good news. The good news of God's word. You're a dispenser of the truth. He put it in your vessel, the truth. This week He's putting it more in you. And therefore, in the next season, we're going to be able to, Lighthouse Baptist, we're going to be able to dispense that truth. I went to it's on my Twitter wall. I went to my wife had to go to the restroom on the way here, one of several times. And we stopped at a gas station. And she's inside, and I'm sitting there. And I look in front of me, and there's a Pepsi machine. And the buttons are about this big around. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. And I don't remember the exact words. You can go look at my Twitter wall and find out. But you didn't get to choose the flavor of drink you wanted. It was a chance. I mean, you walked up to this minute and all the buttons were the same. And you pushed the button and just, whoa, I wonder what's going to come out. Now that's a big problem with me because I'm a diabetic. Because I don't drink anything that's got sugar in it. So I would never use that machine. But besides that, how many of you who are thirsty on a trip would put money in a machine and let it decide what it's going to give you? Okay, one. But I'll tell you what, that's about the way we're living in our Christian lives. Unless we know somebody better than we know. Better than He knows us, better than we know Him. And we have a confidence that He is God and He knows everything. And He knows my desires better than I know my desires. Yeah. He knows my wants better than what I want. He knows what I want to have, what I want to be, what I want to do. He knows what He wants me to have and what He wants me to be and He wants me to do. And His ways are far above my ways. And His ways is going to be an expected end that's going to be a whole lot better than I could ever plan. Then I'd gladly walk up to a machine and push it and say, you choose. Because that's what number one is all about. Amen? What is it, number one?
Show.
Show. What's number two?
No.
No. What's number three?
No.
And number four?
No.
Let me just read a few verses about sowing. And these things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Whether it's at work, lunchtime, you're sitting around. You know, one of the greatest things about Bible conference is this, on lunch, sit down with somebody and say, hey, we're at Bible conference in our church. Let me tell you what the preacher said yesterday. It's so good. And you go back and look at your notes. You go back and process it enough to be able to tell somebody else what the preacher said. I'm going to close with this. I was in General Santos in the Philippines, Doug Sisson's church. And Doug Sisson's church, on one whole big wall of his church, 10 foot high, all the way down, longer than two gymnasiums, was a whiteboard. And it looked like a place and a time and a leader. And underneath that was some statistics that changed every week. And I said, Doug, what is that? He said, oh, that's all the Bible studies in our community. I said, really? I said, what curriculum do you use? He said, my Sunday morning message. He said, that half sheet of paper you got when you walked in my building, he said, all my people get that, and they're all available to them on the back. And he says, I encourage them to get people together during the week and take what I said on Sunday and tell somebody else, and then to tell them how God used that in your message, in your life this week. And he said, at that meeting they have 6, and that meeting they have 10, and that meeting they have 45, and that meeting they have 160, and that meeting they have 200. But guess what happens when those people get a little bit more appetite to find out what God's saying? You know where they go? They go to that church. And they have multiple services now, and God's moving in an incredible way. I'm just simply telling you that when you, number one, show. Number two?
No.
Number three?
No.
Number four?
No.
You start telling other people. The message goes to other people. The truth goes out. And I pray that in a unique way, men, adult men, I'm sorry, teenagers, you have to, I spent a lot of time with you yesterday. But I want to speak to the adult men right now. If we don't take a lead in this, shame on us.
Yeah.
And a second close behind us, teenagers, if you don't catch the vision and move, shame on you. Because we need a word from God this hour in our nation. We need a word from God this hour in our church. Yeah. We need a word from God this hour in our families. So let's bow our heads. I'm going to ask Brother Walsh to come and say closing words and close us in prayer for this time.
Father, we thank you for the time we've had here. As I prayed, I guess you led that beginning of our time, I prayed that we need to let the Word of God dwell in us richly, to reprove, rebuke, and correct and instruct us. And allow to live out in our lives the way it should. And I do believe that there's quite a few men who look at the things of God and the things of the church and almost see a soft woman activity.
Yeah, God help.
And we've forgotten that it's the men that need to take the lead. We are the ones that say, well, we're going to get up and go to church on Sunday. It's we're the ones that are going to say, we're going to live, our household is going to live by the Word of God. We're going to make our decisions by the principles of God. We're going to live out the principles in our lives, whether anybody else around us does or not.
Yes.
And Lord, we forget that we're here to please you. Not to please us, not to please those around us, not to please society. In fact, we've come to us that our beloved land that was one nation under God is throwing you out more and more, and it breaks my heart. But I know that what they're doing is going to be more of a damage to us. And so, Lord, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts, and speak to the hearts of those who know you in our country, that they would stand, and having done all to stand.
Oh, Lord, please help us.
So, Lord, we pray that you'll help our men to be men.
Yes.
And realize that we're not really truly fulfilling our manhood, our calling as a man, until we lead and guide and direct our families and those around us to seek the Lord and seek Him first. So Lord, thank you so much for Brother Ben. Thank you for the message. Praise be with what's coming up the next hour. Give you praise for it in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you, men, for being here. I will say this. A lot of churches, you go there, you see a room full of ladies. It happens. But, you know, there's about as many guys as we have ladies.
Amen. Praise
the Lord. I appreciate it because they stand up to do what they're supposed to do. And I appreciate it very much. All right. We're going to be starting about 9:45. And we'll thank you very much. Be back tonight. If you've already been to early service, be back tonight at 6:00.
Registration to vote.